Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus the Christ. We want to take the time to acknowledge the nations that are listening to us. I'm going to have to reach out and see what congregation these people are actually in that are listening, if they belong to a congregation. But we do know that they listen to the broadcast on a regular basis, and so we want to reach out to them here shortly in the future. So our listeners in Afghanistan, in Algeria, in Belgium, Brazil, Canada, Colombia, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Ghana, Ireland, Japan, Miles speaking. I'm here. I'm speaking. You cannot hear me? Okay, let me see what's going on with my microphone here. All right, let me check it out. Okay, give me a hot second. Seems like we got a problem going on in the room, and I'm not able to be heard. It says that the mic is on. Oh, it's at zero. All right. Testing 1, 2, 3. It looks like you should be hearing me now. Sister Mary, are you able to hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now, Brother Miles.
All right, thank you. All right, yeah, I don't know. The mic got turned down some kind of way. All right, so we were reading off the list. We've already greeted everybody in Pal Talk and in Blog Talk, online. We're reading off a list of the countries that we are currently broadcasting in and have listeners to. We want to wish them all a happy Sabbath. So to our listeners in Germany, Ghana, Ireland, Japan, Mexico, Netherlands, Nigeria, Poland, Portugal, Russia, South Africa, South Korea, Sweden, Tajikistan, Thailand, the United Kingdom, the United States of America, and Vietnam. We wish everyone a happy Sabbath, and we pray that, you know, the Most High is richly blessing you no matter where you're at, and that you are ready to eat from His Word on this evening. We are endeavoring to move forward with the land that we have been purchasing, and I was just online prior to, you know, the Sabbath starting, looking at applying for the 501c3 status, and was going to start that application, but it says that, you know, once you start it, you got to complete it. So we'll be doing that starting next week on that, so that we can go ahead and start applying for grants and things like that. Any other news? No other news that I can think of right now. So we're going to go ahead and proceed with this lesson on tonight, the promises of Yah. Okay, and may have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your head. And can I get a check off of Blog Talk? Is it clear or is it spotty? I know that I listened to a broadcast and it seemed kind of staticky. Is it clear?
It's very clear.
All right, thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so we are clear on that end, and that is what my concern is, because that's the one that people will download. I have to fix the one online here so that I can record these out of the classroom, and then I'll have a backup. And people should be able to download those as well. So if you're listening, we now have just about any kind of way that somebody would want to listen. You can call in to directly to the conference from your phone, or you can call into Blog Talk, or you can listen on the Internet at blogtalkradio.com/YGKM and listen to the broadcast over the Internet no matter where you're at in the world. If you're in the continental United States or in Canada, and you want to dial in, you know, you can call the Blog Talk radio number. If your carrier doesn't support the Blog Talk number, which is a 516 number, if it says that you don't want to charge you 1 cent a minute or something like that, then I've created another number that is going out with the broadcast. It's a 480 number. 480-380-9901, and that one doesn't charge your carrier, and so that should help to get you around that if you want to get charged by your carrier, your cell phone carrier. So pay attention to the texts that come out and the message, all the ways to listen to this broadcast live or to download broadcasts after they have been, you know, after they've been completed. You can actually download and re-listen to them from Blog Talk Radio. I haven't started uploading them to the church website yet. A little over 2 years worth of broadcasts to upload, and so as I get time to do that, then I'll do it. All right, so let me have the ladies to cover your head, men uncover your head, as we go before the Most High. We do our statement of faith, and we pray in and do the necessary. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory to your name, glory to your name, glory to your name. You are worthy of all the honor and all the praise and all the glory, Father. And we, your people, we bow down and we give you adoration on this your day. We honor you and we keep your Sabbath as you have commanded, Father. Because we adore thee and we love you and we want to obey you and be completely compliant to what you say, Father. And we thank you for all that you do for us. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We
thank
just
you,
glorify
my gracious
you on today. We glorify you and we lift you up. We magnify your name. For you are our Elohim, and there is none like you. No, not one. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would return from our sins and repent from our wicked ways, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but we are repenting from our sins, Father, and turning from our wicked ways. And, Father, we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. The spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call a Messiah, that they would hear your voice, that they would come and that they would obey. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen. In our Sabbath scriptures, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46, And I will personalize this as I read it. If you're reading along, just understand that I'm personalizing it because it just means more to me when I do so. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land, whether we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto you towards our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, and the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon built for thy name, then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive us thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee, and give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, and thou which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohim which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which Yah, Elohim of thy fathers, giveth thee to possess all the days that you live upon the earth. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah, thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8 and verse 17. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. The book of John, chapter 14 and verse 15. John, chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. We shall sound the shofar.
my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that for fact. You are the Redeemer, and they know you coming back. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise to our Elohim.
Verse 9 through 13, 9-13. Who has ears to hear? Let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? So once again, we have to understand that the vast majority of the scriptures, even in the Old Testament, I ran across, in Ezekiel. And Ezekiel asked the Most High the same question. I just read this the other night. Asked the Most High, why, you're speaking to the people in parables. Okay, why speaketh thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mis kingdom, but to them, the masses, it is not given. So we got to understand, everybody's not going to understand this gospel. You can be in the church. You can be at Sunday school. You can be in the camp meeting. Doesn't mean that you're going to understand the gospel. It has to be given to you to understand it, okay? So he says, I speak to them in parables because it was given unto the disciples, his disciples, to understand. Now, if we are becoming his disciples, then he opens the scriptures to us. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So this is given to understanding of the scriptures. We have to understand. The Most High has to give us the understanding. He has to make us to understand, give us the ability to understand. Other than that, if he doesn't give it to us, we can read the scriptures all we want. We will come to an understanding, but it won't be his understanding. We can come to a truth, but it won't be his truth. And so we got to understand that, okay, that everybody can read these scriptures, and the masses were hearing him speak, but the masses weren't understanding what he was saying. And he was speaking in parables so that they couldn't understand, so that they could not understand, okay? And it's very much that same way still today. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. So just make sure that if you are understanding, make sure that you understand that you are blessed. Stand, and then you are super blessed if you are a doer of his word. Not just a hearer, but a doer. So the first thing to be a good disciple is you got to first seek his kingdom. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. The kingdom of heaven first. Got to be the first thing in every one of our lives. Got to get into this kingdom. I don't care what it takes. I got to make it into his kingdom. Got to be the first thought in your mind every day. And the righteousness, and that word righteousness is to be lawful, to be a doer of the law. That's what makes you right. So doing the law makes you righteous. It's practicing righteousness. We got to get our righteousness from the Most High. What he says is right, keeping his laws. Verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, that which when a man has found, he hides, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The kingdom's got to be so valuable to you that you would sell all that you have to get it. You have to realize no matter how much you have, the kingdom is more valuable than that. And that you would give all that you have, sell all that you have, to obtain the kingdom. Got to be the frame of mind. Verse 45, Matthew, to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, he's reiterating that this kingdom is so, has to be so valuable to you that you would sell all you have to obtain this kingdom. Go to Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. You got to seek the kingdom and the Most High with your whole heart. Can't be giving him a piece of you. Can't give him leftovers. The Most High says he's worthy and he don't accept nothing less than your all. And if you're not giving him your all, you're not giving him what he wants, and he don't have to accept you. So he wants us to seek him with our whole heart. Drop down to verse 34, Psalms 119 and 34. Because when we have understanding, then we understand that we have to keep his law. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. I shall observe it with my whole heart, not a piece of me, not when it's, you know, convenient, but always. Observe your laws with my whole heart, and then I will be wise. I will have understanding. Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yah, and they shall be my people. And I will be their Elohim, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. The Most High always has wanted Israel's whole heart. He wants the saints' whole heart. You cannot achieve his kingdom. You cannot get into his kingdom. You can't live the life that he wants you to live if you're not giving him your whole heart, if you're not doing it with your whole heart, with all your energy. If you're trying to get the Most High leftovers, he don't want that. He tells you, I want your whole heart. I got to be first. Got to seek this kingdom first and my righteousness. Seek my kingdom and my righteousness first. Do it with your whole heart. Make me the most valuable thing in your life. And if I'm not those things, then you're not worthy of me. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple, he cannot be my follower, cannot be my pupil, cannot become like me. If you put anybody above the Most High for him, says you can't be my, he didn't say you're going to be a bad disciple. He said you don't qualify. You cannot be my disciple. And so we got to understand, even down to our own selves, he's got to come first. Verse 27, Luke 14, verse 27. And whosoever does not bear his cross, doesn't do what it takes, and come after me, cannot be my disciple, cannot be my student, cannot become like me. You got to be willing to do whatever it takes. For which of you intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? You got to sit down and consider, what is it going to take to serve the Most High? What is it going to take to be a disciple of Messiah? See, all saved people, all the saints are supposed to be becoming like Messiah. And the only way to become like Messiah is to become his disciple, a follower of Messiah. Those are the ones that are going to get in. Those are the ones that are going to finish the race. And this is the attitude that each of us must have. Got to sit down and count the cost. What is it going to take for me to give my all? What is it going to take? What do I have to give up? What do I have to start doing? What in my life is more have I been placing ahead of the Most High, ahead of Messiah? Not Brother Miles' word, but we're reading it straight from the scripture. So I don't want anybody saying, oh, that's your understanding. You're reading in black and white. I'm just reading it back to you. So you got to consider the cost. And if you don't consider the cost, he tells you, leave happily after you have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it. All that behold it begin to mock you, saying, this man or this person began to build and was not able to finish. You started following Messiah and you wanted to do the right thing, but you didn't know it was going to take your all. Start letting, you know, different people in your life demand that, hey, you gotta give me more than what you're giving me. You gotta do for me more than what you're doing for me. But when you're trying to do it for the Most High, when you're doing it for him, when your object is to get in kingdom and be like Messiah, become a son, a child of the Most High, then you have to count that in part of the cost. You don't want people mocking you. Because, you know, we see people who one day they're serving the Most High, and then you come back 3 months later, a year later, you come back out on the street doing what they were doing, or they are still struggling with things they ought not struggle with, because once you are committed to something, there's no struggle with it. Struggle comes when you are not committed to something. The Most High said, I'm telling you the real deal here. You got to give me your whole heart. You want to make the grade, you got to give me your whole heart. That's what it's going to take. Okay. Drop down to verse 33. Verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. I think that's probably the biggest hurdle for everyone. Understand that Messiah himself is telling us, if you cannot forsake all that you have for the kingdom, you cannot be his disciple. Are the people who are going to make it into the kingdom? If you can't give him your all, if you're not seeking his kingdom first and his righteousness, if you're not making him the most valuable person, most important person in your life, if you're not doing it with your whole heart, if you love anybody or anything more than you love him, you cannot be his disciple. That many are called, and when we did the feast of the heave offering, the feast of first fruits, and we looked at the lesson in the first fruits, how all these grains are picked. They're picked to go into the loaf. But only the choice grains out of all those that are picked, the ones that are picked are the ones that are called. Everybody that's called don't make it. Everybody that's called don't make it into the loaf. Don't make it into the body. So he gives us all the clues that we would ever need. Many are called, but few are chosen. I want everybody to get that into our noggin, into our head, into our mind. Many are called, but few are chosen. Only the choice grains get chosen to be baked into a loaf of bread, get chosen to be included in the body. Those are all symbols of his body. That loaf of bread at the heave offering that is offered, is baked out of the choice grains, represents his body. And those grains are the choice grains that are chosen to go into the loaf. So we have to understand that and walk in that and believe that. Okay. We want to always keep this in front of us so that we don't fall short. So that we don't fall short. Now, we want to go ahead and start into this precept. And our precept on today, the promises of Yah. Because to those that he loves, you know, his promises are not to his promises of, you know, prosperity and salvation and blessing. It's not to every human being on the planet. It's only to those that he loves. So we got to know that, you know, this is important. It's very important that so we understand how we receive the promises. So let's look at some of these promises. Let's go to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms 86. Psalms 86. 5. You know, because I don't know about you, but I want to stay saved. And I want to walk in his way. And I want to make sure I'm doing these things to get into his kingdom always. We want to always keep them before us. Psalms 86 and 5. For thou, Yah, art good and ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive those that he loves, those that are obey his voice, that keep his commandments. We know, you know, I'm preaching to the choir, but we know that the Most High will not charge us for our ignorant sin. And we know that he charges us for willful sin. And we know that he doesn't forgive willful sin. But he's ready to forgive us if we are not disobeying him willfully. But if we're ignorantly doing, he is ready to forgive. He said, stipulates it. If you will confess your sins, I am true and just to forgive you. I'm ready to forgive you. I'm ready to make intercession for you. I know in your heart you love me and that you are obeying what you know to obey. And when you don't, when you find yourself doing something wrong, it hurts you in your heart to know that you have disobeyed. It scares you. It scares you. So he's ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Now we already know, we've read in Ezekiel and we've read in Isaiah, he said, if you are not living a righteous life, you don't have a right to call upon him. You're calling upon him as though you had a right to call upon him. He says, you don't have a right to call upon me as though you're righteous, as though you do right. Those that do right have the right to call upon him. Those that practice righteousness, those that obey his commandments, they have a right to call upon him. Anybody that is willfully, he says, you don't have a right to call upon me. Really, the only prayer he's really hearing or except from a willful sinner is a prayer of repentance. And even with that, the more I'm reading this, You got to really be awfully repentant for him to hear the prayer of willful sin. This is rough. But he promises us that, hey, you do what I say do. You obey my voice. I am willing and ready to forgive you and to have mercy upon you. Plenteous, abundant mercy. So we got to know that he promises us that he will forgive us. If we are doing things that, you know, well, most I, you know, I don't know everything. I'm learning. And when we hear truth and we obey it, and we hear that we are in sin, and then we repent of it with godly sorrow, he says, I will forgive you. I will have abundant mercy upon you. I will throw what you did into the sea of forgetfulness as though you never did it. Just repent and turn away from it, and I will forgive you. But make sure that you're obeying my voice. Make sure that you have a right to call upon me. Because Israel, you know, Israel is our example. Israel was doing wickedness and walking in iniquity. And then coming to call on the Most High for favor. Calling on the Most High for, you know, to act on their behalf. Calling on the Most High for guidance. And he's like, you calling upon me like you have a right. Like you do righteousness. And you don't have a right if you're not doing righteousness. I don't even want to hear you. I don't even want to hear your voice. Unless you are repenting, I don't want to hear you. So we need to understand that. Go to Psalms chapter 23. Psalms chapter 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
For thou art with me.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. No matter what we're going through, the Most High says, if we are obeying his voice, he will be what? With us.
With us.
And that's a promise.
Hey, yeah.
If he's obedient, he's not going to be with you. See, we want the promise no matter what our condition is. But he says, no, you got to be obeying me. You got to be doing what I said to do, and I will be with you. You don't have to worry about evil on the left or evil on the right. It shall not come near unto you. So 10,000 be dying on your left and 10,000 be dying on your right. If you are obeying me, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to what? Protect you. And I will comfort you. Know this. This is a promise to us that he will be with us and that he will comfort us. Go to Psalm 50. Psalms chapter 50 and verse 15. The book of Psalms chapter 50 and verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. And thou shalt glorify me. When he delivers you, who do you need to give the glory to?
Him.
To him. Amen. Need to give the glory to the Most High. Need to always make sure that you turn around and give him the credit, give him the glory. So no matter what you're going through, if you are obeying, did he say that if you are a good saint, no trouble is going to come upon you? He never said that. trouble can come. The truth of the matter is, if trouble comes, then who are you supposed to be relying on? Your Most High Elohim. And he says, I will deliver you out of it. A lot of times trouble comes to see what you will do. It's a test and a trial. Remember he says trial and tribulation? Trials come affect us. We go into the fire for, you know, to perfect us, to heat us up, to get the impurities out. And so if you've never been tested, you might want to ask what's going on. If you never felt no heat, you might want to ask what's going on. But once you pass a particular test, that test won't come again. It'll be a different type of test, a different type of trial for your perfecting. But he says he will deliver you out of it. Got to believe that. Got to know that. That's his promise to us. I will deliver you. Psalm 103, verse 2 through 5. The book of Psalms 103, verses 2 through 5. Bless Yah, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now this all, I want you to circle that word all. Circle or underline the word all in that verse. Because that word all means all subjectively. The Most High will not forgive all your willful sins. He says to the contrary. So all doesn't include all your willful sins. It includes all the sin that he says he will forgive. I will forgive all your sin as long as it's what? Ignorance. That's why I said we have to read these verses with understanding, because we will read these verses and say, oh, he said right there, he'll forgive all my iniquity. But he's already pre-qualified what all is. All your ignorant iniquity. So just know this, and I know you guys know it, but I'm going to reiterate it because we never know who's listening and who's hearing it for the first time. All, in this instance, is all your ignorant sin, all your ignorant iniquity, not all of your iniquity. And I know that's what it says right there. But that would contradict so many scriptures. So we have to read this in what? Context of what he has already said. Ignorantly. He can be forgiven. That person can be forgiven. But the soul that sins willfully, he says, your iniquity shall remain upon you. So all don't mean all your iniquities, willful and ignorant. It means all of your ignorant ones, all the ones that you didn't know was wrong. Because all the ones that you know, surely you're not doing them. Surely you're not, you know, breaking them. So we have to read these verses in context. So he will forgive us all our ignorant sin, all of our ignorant iniquities, who healeth all our diseases. We have to believe that and know that. And I'm waiting for the Most High. You know, I believe that I have the gift of healing. He has healed other people through me in the past. can't lay hands on myself, and he may make me suffer with what I have. But I'm waiting for him to give us a healer, and that we can meet, and that they are able to lay hands on me so that the Most High can heal me through them. Or I can lay hands on you. Because he does. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he heals all of our diseases. It's a benefit. It's a promise. But there's a way that he does. So I pray that one of you get the gift of healing. Who redeems thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Love and compassion. He's very compassionate upon his people that obey him. You know, if you're a parent, and all of us have been, or we have nieces or nephews, and we have those that obey us, who, you know, who listen to us, and then we have those that don't. And we will usually give favor to the one that obeys us, who listens to our voice, who does what we say to do. And the Most High does the same thing. He doesn't like disobedient children. Whether it is ignorantly or willfully, he doesn't like disobedience. Just that when we do it ignorantly, he's willing to forgive. Forgive it. When we do it willfully, he don't want to forgive that. Oh, you just gonna be willfully hard-headed? Uh-uh. Let me slap your side of the head. Let me send some things on you. But if we are obeying him, if we are being good disciples, if we are seeking him with our whole heart, Messiah is going to advocate for us. We slipped and we failed. We did something ignorantly. Messiah will advocate for us. And I'm going to do a precept on, I think, coming up for either Tabernacles. I'm going to do a precept on the Tabernacle. So that we can have understanding in the way that the tabernacle was designed to work, so that we know, you know, we are not up under that same tabernacle today, but it's going to tell us what Messiah is actually doing in the heavens, as the priest. What does it mean that he's making intercession for us? What is he doing in the inner court? What is he doing behind the first veil right now? When is he going to enter into the Holy of Holies? He entered in and paid the price. But then he has work to do outside of the Holy of Holies. Until he determines the time that he's going to enter into the Holy of Holies for the last time. And so we want to look at, you know, the sanctuary, the tabernacle, and understand how it worked. And when he gets ready to hang up those priestly robes and he's getting ready to put on his kingly robes, then we know that the door to the covenant is closed. We will all still be here. But when he changes from priest into king, when he changes roles, then the Ark of the Covenant is closed. So we want to see that. Thank you, Most High. We want to see that so that we understand what he's doing today and how we can lose our salvation if we don't continue to walk upright before him. Okay, we could be in the Ark and then get kicked out of the Ark. So I'm going to do that precept, the sanctuary, and I think I will do it right around Tabernacles. so that we can put them together and have understanding. You know, I think last year I taught that, you know, we became like Messiah, or we're supposed to become like Messiah, and be that what, living tabernacle, that living sanctuary? That the Most High wants to dwell in us like he dwelt in the sanctuary, in the Holy of Holies. That's why he says, present your body as the living sacrifice, acceptable and holy unto him. So that we will be that walking, living, and breathing sanctuary. But I want to show you what he's doing in the heavenly sanctuary. And we'll have a better ideal of when he's going to come back. And we'll have a better ideal of when he's going to close up that door to that ark. And nobody will be able to enter in after that, just as like it was in the days of Noah. Still working on it. But this is taking us there. Redeemest thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. We want to be in his blessing. We want to receive his promises. We want him to always have mercy. Have mercy upon us. Because truth of the matter is, you have mercy on somebody who is guilty. And so they throw themselves on the mercy of the court. If you are not guilty, you don't need mercy. I think I need to do that precept. I don't think I've done that in a while. To show you the difference between grace and mercy. That when you're under grace and you're truly up under grace, you don't need mercy. Because you're no longer guilty. You only need mercy if you are guilty. Have mercy on me. Don't give me the full measure of the law. The law says I deserve death. Don't give me the death sentence. Give me a commuted sentence. Give me a lesser sentence. Have mercy on me. But you need mercy because you were guilty. But once you are saved, you no longer need mercy unless you fall, unless you sin. Then you need mercy. So I think I will do those two precepts coming up, the sanctuary and mercy and grace. So that we can understand the difference in the two, when we need them and how they operate and how the Most High uses them. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like an eagle, like the eagle. So when he promises us that if we walk in his way, he will give us good things. In all things, and that he will renew us. So we want to always be walking in his ways. We want to always be obedient. We want to always not be walking in iniquity, so that we can receive his promise. Go to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11 and starting in verse 11. Let me write down these notes to myself so I make sure I don't forget these. Sanctuary and grace and mercy. So that I do those. I think when you understand when we understand those things, then, you know, anything we can understand better, it makes our walk easier, and we can, you know, just live in that. Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? None of us would give our children any of those things if they, you know, if they asked us for bread, we wouldn't give them a stone. Here, eat this rock. If they asked us for a fish, we wouldn't give them a snake, a serpent. Here, take this rattlesnake while it's still alive. Eat it. Even if it's dead, become clean, we wouldn't give it to them. If they would ask us for an egg, We wouldn't give them a scorpion. We would give them an egg. You know, a chicken's egg or, you know, whatever type of eggs are closer to eat. If you then, being evil, you and I, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He wants to give his children his Spirit. He wants to beget us. This is a promise. Be born of the water and of the Spirit, his Spirit. He wants to make us his children. As I've told you before, we'll get this verse just so we can set this up. I believe it's John chapter, let's go to John. We'll come back here. Or we'll move on for this, but so that we can, you know, understand this verse. Let's go to John chapter 1. Let's get verse 12. Chapter 1 and verse 12. This is to set up the previous verse. I should have read this verse. John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, Messiah, to them gave he the power to become the sons of Elohim. I'm going to stop right there from right now. The power to become. That means that before you met Messiah, before you received him, before you received the Ruach HaKodesh, you were not a child of the Most High. You were a human being, male or female, but you were not his child. That's why Messiah had to come to give you the power to become a son or a child of Elohim. That means that you have to do the things that he says to do to become. When the world or when we just believe that, you know, by being born in the flesh that we are a child of the Most High because we are a human being, we are incorrect. We are human beings. A spirit in a male or a female body. But we are not his children. We are not his child. And so we have to do what Messiah said to do, to become his child, because we got cut off. We got unadopted. We got cast away. That's what sin does to us. It separates us from the Most High. And from the time of Adam and Eve, being a son or a child of the Most High, it was only those that obeyed him, that walked before him and obeyed him, were his children. You know, and we might say, wow. Because, you know, we have a child and they disobey us. We say, well, they're still our child. We begat them. And we did beget them, but we weren't begotten by the Spirit of the Most High from birth. He said, that's the new thing I'm going to do. Israel was not begotten by his Spirit. They were adopted and declared to be his children. He says, but now I'm going to beget you. I'm going to put a part of me in you. If you ask, I want to know that you want me. You got to ask me for my Spirit. And I will beget you if your heart is right before me. And surely you won't be asking me for my Spirit if you don't intend on what? Obeying me? Surely you don't want that promise if you're not intending on obeying me, obeying my voice, keeping my commandments, my statutes. But this is what Messiah came to do. This is what Adam and Eve lost in the garden. they lost their citizenship to the kingdom, but they also lost their right to be called a son or a child of the Most High. Because I'm going to have to do a work. I'm going to have to do a work. You can't save yourself. So I'm going to have to send a Savior. And once he has come, then now you can become my child again. So we got to understand this. Child, if we ask him for his spirit and we agree to obey, he doesn't want disobedient children. You don't claim me as your daddy, you're going to be disobedient to me because I will kill you. That's my nature. I'm loving, I'm kind, I'm merciful. As long as you ain't willfully disobedient to me. Because being willfully disobedient, you know, I'm still looking for a way to phrase this in a way that people can just get it. But to be, that's like just being just straight up, I'm not going to do what you say do. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care who you are. You're the Most High. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's what we're telling him when we are willfully disobedient. And this is just so grievous in his eyes. Think about this, everybody. There was some angel that disobeyed. Not all of them. A third of them. However many angels there are, a third of them disobey. They don't get to repent. Doesn't allow them and doesn't make a way for them to come back and say, I'm sorry. Because they knew and they chose to be disobedient. And so he doesn't make a way for them. He says they are reserved in chains of darkness, awaiting judgment. And I've already prepared the place for them, the lake of fire. And then there's man, the offspring of the Most High. But he says, you're not my offspring. Because I will disinherit you. I will cut you off. And you will not be my child. And I love each and every one of you, but if you are willfully disobedient to me, I won't put up with that. And so this happened in the garden. And he said, you know, you listen to that wicked angel, Satan, and he showed what was in your heart. And you disobeyed me. So I sent Messiah that you could come back into right relationship with me and ask me for your sonship, and I'm going to put it that way. You're still back. You asked me for my spirit, and I didn't do this before. I didn't give Adam my spirit. I walked in his presence, but I didn't give him my spirit. I didn't give Eve my spirit. But now I'm doing a new work. And in these last days, I'm giving mankind, my spirit, all those that will obey. I'm giving my spirit. and I'm going to make you my child if you ask me. Don't think that this is an automatic thing. If you ask me, I promise you, I will give you my spirit. If your heart is right before me, if you want me with your whole heart, if you're going to obey my voice, see, that's the way you receive his spirit. When you go down in that water and you get baptized and you come up out of that water, it's not an automatic thing that you receive his spirit. You got to first want his spirit, then you got to ask him for it, and you got to thank him for it. And you got to be truly repent, be repentant and want him with your whole heart. It's got to be the most important thing in your life. And I'm realizing, even as I'm telling you this, that he had to bring me to that place in my life. But he had to threaten me. And, you know, I hate to say it that way, but that's exactly what he did. I will not forever call you. So the most I had to see something in me that he would do that. And I thank him for it because he didn't have to. He could have said, all right, you hard-headed Negro, I'm through with you. Wipe my hands of you. You are reprobate and I'm done with you. He could have done that. But he didn't, and I thank him for it, that he did not do that. So when he says, I will not forever call you, trust me, I heard what he was saying, and he became the most important entity in my life. Nothing and no one, not even my own life, came before him. Nothing was more important. And when he saw that, that's when he filled me with his spirit, the Ruach. That's when he made me know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know, that he had chosen me. And the Most High wants the same for all of us. So he promises us to give us his spirit so that we can become his children. And do what it is that he wants us to do, that we will be obedient to him, that we might receive the promise, that he might be merciful toward us, that he might be gracious toward us, might be with us, period. Let's continue in this. Let's go to the book of James. Chapter 1. The book of James, chapter 1. And let's get verse 5. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask Elohim. If you lack wisdom, ask Elohim himself. And he'll look at you and tell you, the beginning of all wisdom is to fear me and to keep my commandments. Once you have that, then I'm able to guide you and to give you more wisdom. Because you will hear me. You will obey me. That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you ask the Most High for wisdom, first thing he's going to tell you, fear him. Now, in all your other moves in the world and everything that you're going to do, you want him to guide you, want him to give you wisdom in all that you do. He says, you got to first hear me. And I'll come to you in the midnight hour, and I will speak to you. And I will guide your footsteps from the adversary. I will give you wisdom, and I will be with you. And I will chastise you when you do wrong, because you are my child. He says, and if you're my child and I don't chastise you, then are you really my child? Because I chastise mine. I tell you to spare not the rod. What makes you think I'm going to spare the rod? If you're going off the path, if you're getting ready to go down the wrong way, I will chastise you to make sure you stay on the right way. You want wisdom? Ask Elohim. He promises to give it to you. But you got to be doing what he says to do. You got to be walking in his ways. You got to be obeying his voice. You got to be fearing him. And if if that's the first thing you need is to learn to fear him, the first thing he's going to have you to learn. I think the problem is that we hear these things a lot of times and they just don't sink in. So I know I had read those verses many times. The beginning of all wisdom is the fear of the Most High. And there was a certain level of fear, and not like the fear I got today. If I have a better understanding of what that means and just how serious it is to him. So you want wisdom, he promises to give it to you. Go to 7, promises of the Most High. Psalms 37 and 4. The book of Psalms 37 and 4. If you do this, then Yah is going to do this. Delight thyself also in Yah, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now here's the key to this. If you delight yourself in him, then you're going to want those things that please him. And he's going to give them to you, the way for you to please him. He's going to give you the ability and the wherewithal to do it, because the desire of your heart will be to please him. When you have understanding, and he says, seek his kingdom first and his righteousness with your whole heart, then your desire is going to be to please him. It's not going to be the desire for that Cadillac and that big mansion and the house on the hill and that fur coat and, whatever else that this world throws up in our face saying, these are signs that you are blessed. When you delight yourself in him, then your first thoughts are to do that which pleases him. What can I do today to please you, Most High? What would you have me to do? What would you have me to say? Where would you have me to go? How may I please you, delighting yourself in him? Situation comes up. How do I obey his voice? This I know that this is right. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that which is right. If you do that, then he gives you the desires of your heart, because what you're going to be wanting is those things that please him. So he says, all these other things, I will add them to you. You won't even be looking for that big car. I'll just give it to you. You won't be looking for that big house. I'll just give it to you. It won't be your priority. I'll make it a way. you won't be living for that. You'll be living to what? Delight yourself in him. I hope we can catch this. What's pleasing to him? And guess what? You won't be able to get off of it. Nothing will be able to divert you. You might have a thought about something else, but trust me, he's going to bring your attention right back to delighting in him and doing those things that please him. Things that I'll give you the desires of your heart. Because the desires of your heart will have changed. When we were a carnal person, when we were natural in the world, I can speak for myself. I can't speak for anybody else. I'll speak for me. I always use me as the example. You know, wanting to be something in the world, wanting to, you know, get, you know, these awards on the job, wanting to get this citation saying you did a good job, wanting to get this promotion. Wanting to, you know, appear that, or not even appear, but be successful at everything and be the best according to man's standards. So when I was in the military, which, you know, from the age of 18 to 38, no, 40, 18 to 40, you know, my whole life was geared around making promotion and, doing a good job, what, you know, and that if I did a good job, it didn't mean I was going to get more pay without getting a promotion. It wasn't like in the civilian world where they can give you a bonus. Make men praise you for your work. And that's where, you know, or if it was in the street, you know, having this car that was going to attract the honey. Being dressed in such a way that was going to, you know, attract the women. Being able to rap and to not rap like they rap in the songs, but, you know, to hold a decent conversation and, you know, being carnal. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Got to be somebody. Got to attract somebody. That was the way that it was. And those were the things that were in my heart. Let me get this promotion. I get this promotion, I get more money. I get more money, I can do more things. But then also I wanted the praise of men. Even up to got the praise of the President of the United States of America. Name one of the top 10, not just in the Air Force, but in the Air Force, Army, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, the Reserves. One of the top 10 federal employees. So it wasn't just for one service or not just for my unit, but that's how I was driven. And I achieved those things. But the real desire in my heart, when it really came down to it, was to please the Most High. And when he brought me to my senses, that's what it became about, pleasing him. Being someone in his eyes. And he said, be of low estate. Be the servant. You want to be big in my kingdom? Make yourself a servant. Don't seek to be the king. You got a king. Your king is a servant. If your king is a servant, then you must be a servant. Stop trying to be of high esteem as far as in the eyes of men. So he changed my focus of my heart because my desire was to delight in him. What pleases you, Most High? What do you want? What do you want me to say? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to act? That became my life. And now I don't seek a big mansion. I seek to do his will. That's the desire of my heart. That's how I know I can tell you this. That it changes. When you delight in him, he becomes the desire of your heart. Doing what pleases him becomes the desire of your heart. And he's going to help you in that. Go to John chapter 14. Now remember, everything that we're talking about his promises for those that love him and for those that he loves. I love them that love me. And if you love me, then you'll keep my commandments. Then you have a right to ask me. Ask me what you will. John chapter 14 and verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Talk about for kingdom's sake, because as I said, once you make him the delight, make the Most High your delight, then it all becomes about his kingdom. And you're going to be asking things for kingdom's sake. Because you're going to know what your job is, what you're supposed to be doing. Father, we need these things. He will make it happen. I have no doubt whatsoever. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 14. If you love me, here's the gist, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that you may abide, that he, the comforter, may abide with you forever. That he also goes back to who? The Father. That he goes back to Messiah. When we understand who Messiah is, then we understand that he is the everlasting Father. Come in the flesh as the Son. And these words point back to him. That Comforter is his Spirit. But we have to have understanding to even understand that. It's written in such a way that the masses will say, hey, there's the Father, there's the Son there, and there's the Comforter, there's the Holy Spirit. We got three in one. We got three. And if it's true Trinitarianism, they're all separate entities. But I'm going to send the Comforter to you. Let's go to John chapter, I believe it's one. Let me check. I'm going off script here. Give me a hot second. And I apologize. I know that it's in this chapter. I want to get this verse for us. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 33. John chapter 1, verse 33. Remember, he just said, I will pray to Father, and he will send you another comforter. Let's look and see what John's testimony of the child that came into the world. Chapter 1, verse 33. Now, maybe we need to, let's start at verse 32. I said verse 33. We're going to start at verse 32. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. This is the Spirit descending like a dove and lighting and staying on Messiah. John sees the spirit. And when it says like a dove, it wasn't really in the form of a dove, okay? That when we use that dove as a representation because it is burnt, that's not what this verse is saying. John did not see a dove descending, flying down a bird. Let's read this carefully so you understand what he's saying. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. If you ever watch a dove land, doves don't come in, you know, they don't come down slowly when they're landing. Doves fly across the sky like it seems like in full blast speed, like something chasing them all the time. And when they come in for a landing, they come in for a landing very fast, very hot. And this is the way he's saying that he saw the Spirit descend upon Messiah, like a dove landing, very fast. And it abode upon him. And I knew him not. Now, this is his cousin. Everybody knows that Messiah and John are cousins. In all his life, John never knew that Messiah, that Jesus or Yeshua was the Messiah. Never knew it. In the womb, he knew. When he came out of the womb, he didn't know. And as he's growing up, he didn't know. But he was given a sign. Who you see the Spirit descend upon and stay on him, that's the Messiah. This is when he knew that Yeshua or Jesus was the Messiah. He said, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water. Who you think sent John to baptize with water? It was Jesus or Yeshua before he became Jesus, because he didn't become Jesus until he put on flesh. John knew him as the Most High and know him as Jesus. But when Mary came to Elizabeth and John was in the womb, the Spirit of the Most High that was in John caused Elizabeth to prophesy. And he knew that Mary was the mother of Messiah and from the womb, but when he came out, he didn't know. He had to wait to see the sign. So he sees the sign. He sees the Spirit of the Most High descend from heaven quickly like a dove. And it lights upon Messiah. It stays upon him. And he says, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. So who baptizes with the Holy Ghost? Messiah, Yeshua. He said, but I got to leave here first. If I don't leave, the Comforter can't come. Let me get that verse for us so that we understand. So we can receive this promise. Just a second. I apologize. Book of John, chapter 16. And we're going to get verse 7. John chapter 16 and verse 7. This is Messiah talking. John 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I will send him unto you. John told us in chapter 1, or about in verse 20. So where were we at? Verse 33, somewhere right near, yeah. Verse 33. John's witness of Messiah is that he's the one. The one that you see the Spirit descend upon and say, he is the one that baptizes you with the Holy Ghost. Messiah just said in chapter 16, if I don't go away, then the Comforter cannot come, the Holy Ghost. So I got to go away so I can send him back. I'm going to send him back from the position of Father. That's why the scripture says, whom the Father shall send. I got to send him back to you from the position of Father. But I'm the one that baptized you with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you who I am. I am the Father. In a different way. He's talking to us parabolically, and we have to understand the other scriptures in order to even get this. But he tells us, I'm going to send the Comforter. And if I don't go away, I can't send him to you. This is his promise. We are at 10 minutes still. Now, can we see how people get mixed up? Let's go back to John chapter 14. And we're just going to get verse 16. John chapter 14 and verse 16. Stand alone on its own, then we would come to a completely different understanding. John chapter 16, 14 and verse 16. And I will pray to Father. People can't understand why Messiah says he's going to pray to the Father. And he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. But Messiah just told you in chapter 16, I will send the Comforter. And John told you in chapter 1, he was told by the one that told him to go baptizing, the one whom you see the Spirit descend upon and remain, he is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost or with the Comforter. And so he will give us whatever we ask for in his name, if we make him our priority. He becomes our priority. His desires become our priority. So then whatever we ask for, then he will give it to us because we're asking for kingdom's sake. The Most High's desire is in his prayer that he taught us, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. This is what he wants. Thy will be done. Where? In heaven, on earth as it is where? In heaven. Our desire will be for his will to be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Our desires of our hearts will be to do his will. We will ask for those things to bring about his will in the earth, to help bring about his will in the earth, to be instruments of bringing about his will in the earth, if we delight in him. I will pick this up in the morning. We'll continue in this, in the promises of the Most High. Because there's many more promises, so many more, that he gives to us if we obey him, if we love him. Let us bow our heads. Father, yeah, Heavenly Father, we come before you, Father, seeking to bring about your will in the earth, Father, to do those things which are pleasing to you, to accomplish what it is that you want done in the earth, to be your agents, Father, to be apostles and disciples of Yeshua HaMashiach, our example. Father, bless us, your children. Bless us with your presence. Bless us with your guidance. Order our steps, Father. Give us what we need. We petition you even right now, Father, for all that we need to bring about what you have given us to do to bring your kingdom about in this world. Father, I pray for each and every person. Give them what they need, Father, kingdom. We petition you even right now. And we know that you hear us. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. For you know that it is within each of our hearts to do that which is pleasing to you. So we will continue this, the promises of the Most High, because his promises are many for those that he loves. Talking about positive promises, things that he will do for us, that he promises to us, that are obedient. So I pray that you receive something out of this lesson on this evening. We will continue in it in the morning on what we're going to do on Sabbath evening. But Sunday, spiritual wellness, we will continue in the apologetics handbook, Hebrew Israelite apologist handbook. We will continue in that study. So I pray everybody has a blessed Sabbath. Get the prescribed rest. Spend some time with the Most High. Should be doing it every day, but, you know, this is the day dedicated to him, because if we will honor him in this day, that we honor him, that we don't seek our own pleasure. May the Most High bless you. And until we meet again, family, remember, I love you. I really do. And not love you like the Most High loves you. Don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. Shalom, family. And happy Sabbath. There we go.
can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the Ruach and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient, hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. Always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever.
Shalom, Sister Lorraine, Sister Denise, Sister Mary, Brother Gary. Happy Sabbath. Shalom, Sister.
Shalom. Happy Sabbath, Brother Miles. Shalom. Shalom, Sister Denise.
Shalom.
And everyone else
listening.
Shalom.
Shalom.
All right, Shalom, Brother Gary. Peace and blessings.
Same to you, brother.
All right.